Look, we had hours and hours and hours of conversations, and, you know, it's a serious business considering leaving a church body, and I'm an adult convert. It's the place where I heard the gospel. I never, ever envisaged having to leave the church that literally brought me life. But we want a church for the future. We want a church for our children and our grandchildren, where they will hear the full counsel of God and can rejoice in the gospel.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to head around the globe today, travel around the globe. Actually, someone from the other side of the globe,
came to us.
Someone from the other side of the globe, from the Southern Hemisphere. It's not very often we get to talk with friends in the Southern Hemisphere.
It's true.
So I'm excited about this chat. We get to learn about Lutheran Mission Australia today. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Matt Anker. He's president of Lutheran Mission Australia. Pastor Anker, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
I am really intrigued by the history of Lutherans in Australia and now the development of Lutheran Mission Australia. I've been reading about it in preparation for this conversation, and I'm thoroughly intrigued. And I really am interested in knowing more. I'm sure Sarah is, our listeners are as well. Mm-hmm. Help us understand the history of Lutherans in Australia, because most of us here in the States are probably familiar with German immigration to the United States and some of the Swedish and Finnish immigration to the United States and how that developed Lutherans here. But we are probably clueless about Australian Lutherans and their history. So
sure.
What's the best history you could give us in just a few minutes?
Well, I'm no expert on it, but there are lots of similarities between the history of Lutherans in Australia and those who became part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I guess the biggest migration occurred in the 1830s, and it came about as a result of the Prussian Union. Yeah. And the old Lutherans not being able to, in good conscience, go along with the decrees of the king to join together with the Reformed in worship. And so a couple of boatloads of Lutherans, sponsored by an Englishman, migrated to South Australia, and they arrived in 1838, and that was the beginnings of Lutheranism in the southern part of the country. I believe there may have been a few Lutherans up north in Queensland prior to that, but most Lutherans in Australia kind of identify with that exodus out of Prussia. Mm-hmm. Over the years, those few people who came out early on were joined by others, and certainly other mission organizations from the continent sent missionaries to Australia as well. Because of differing theologies, but also because of the geography and lack of communication, this resulted in lots of independent synods, mm-hmm, over the years. And over time, those synods started to come back together until the early part of the 20th century, when there were really two major synods left in the country: the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Australia, which was in fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the United Evangelical Lutheran Church of Australia, and they were part of the formation of the LWF. In 1966, these two synods finally came together after somewhere between 10 and 20 years of work on ironing out the theological differences between them. A champion of that cause was Dr. Herman Zusser, who, mm-hmm, is well known over here. Mm-hmm. And his work and the work of many others resulted in a document called the Theses of Agreement, which really outlined the theological agreement that formed the basis of the new synod. So that took us up to 1966.
Mm-hmm. How has Lutheranism kind of evolved since that point in the 1960s? What are some of the highlights of, or key points of, things that have kind of happened since that point in time?
So the Lutheran Church of Australia was formed as a result of that union. And, you know, the Lutheran Church of Australia has had a significant influence, particularly in the region, and has had some wonderful teachers at the seminary, and been a cause, you know, promoted the cause of confessional Lutheranism very strongly. Mm-hmm. But from the very early days, there really were noticeable differences, particularly around the authority of Scripture and the doctrine of Scripture, how we read and understand God's word. And so those differences continue to kind of bubble along in the background, would be my reading of it. Mm-hmm. But people had so much hope in the union. It's a small church in a big country, and there was a great deal of hope that this union would bring about a renewal of the Lutheran faith in Australia. And so probably some of those things were overlooked, would be my suggestion, until probably about the 1980s, when some of them started to come to the fore. And of course, the most noticeable issue, the most public issue, was the issue of the ordination of women. So really within 20 years of the union of the two churches, the church started considering this question of the ordination of women. So that was in the late 80s.
I didn't realize it had been going on for that long, that issue specifically.
Yeah, so it certainly wasn't on the synod agenda in terms of making a decision, but the study began around the issue in the late 80s.
Okay, yeah.
Certainly the topic of the ordination of women has been an issue that sounds like it's been a struggle for some time. What are some other issues? Were there other issues that have been challenging and created struggles within the Lutheran Church Australia?
We would maintain that the ordination of women is merely a symptom of a much deeper issue, and that is different approaches to the Word of God, the authority of the Word, the inerrancy of the Word, how we understand and interpret and therefore proclaim it. And this really, you know, affects all areas of life. Of course, we still hold much in common with fellow Lutherans in Australia, but when it comes to these key things, we recognize that as the authority of the Word is undermined, our confidence in the gospel and the message that we can proclaim with confidence to others is undermined. And so that's really the key issue. When I think back to my seminary days in the 90s, I remember vividly a presentation by a student on the sacrifice of Isaac. And at the end of the presentation, this student said that the God she believes in could not possibly have asked this of one of his people, and therefore there's no way in which this account could be factual. And the lecturer at the time commented that this was one of the best treatments of the text that he had ever heard. So you can understand that there were fundamental differences even back then, and these things then have implications in all areas of church life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us more about how that understanding and view of Scripture has kind of changed over time and kind of caused that rift to maybe become even more great in recent years.
Well, I think one of the reasons why it's come to a head, if you like, is because of the influence of culture as well. So it's not just that there's a different approach to Scripture that's been encouraged, I guess, by the cultural changes that have taken place. And so people are not so attuned to it because the world around them has been changing. I think the other thing is that over probably the last 20 years, many people have commented that biblical literacy in Australia generally has decreased dramatically. Mm. And that would be true of members of the Lutheran Church of Australia as well. And of course, if you're not being formed by the Word, you're being formed by something, and ultimately that's the culture. So we've had some, you know, outstanding faithful confessors of the faith, some just wonderful pastors and lay people who've contended for the truth for decades. And thanks be to God, they have passed on the faith to many of us and passed on the understanding of the Scriptures being, you know, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and that has kind of kept the light of confessional Lutheranism blazing.
Yeah.
You mentioned your seminary education and pastoral formation. Tell us a little bit about the history of theological education for pastors and other church workers or lay leaders. What has that looked like? We're familiar with what it looks like here in the States, but I have really probably no clue what it looks like in Australia.
For a church the size that it has been, theological education for Lutherans in Australia has been outstanding, really. There was a Lutheran teachers college, as the name suggests, purely for the formation of Lutheran teachers. And Luther Seminary, which is what I attended at that time. It was a 6-year residential course with 1 year of full-time vicarage. A diverse range of professors, but some really, really excellent ones. Very strong biblical tradition, outstanding library, terrific connections with Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and other churches worldwide. So that's been what the church has grown up on, if you like, and has really helped to develop a strong pastorate. But in recent years, for all sorts of reasons, the seminary program has been changed. When I was attending seminary, Luther Seminary was an independent educational institution. It was accredited through government agencies, but it was completely independent. Sometime in the early 2000s, it changed its name to Australian Lutheran College and became part of a wider theological university. And so that immediately starts to have an influence on policy and content and all of these kind of things. At the same time, the course was restructured, shortened, the practical aspects, the vicarage was cut back quite significantly. And fees were introduced. So prior to that, the church had paid entirely for the education of its pastors. And so fees were introduced at that time, which also changes the relationship between students and the seminary. Going forward, the board of the seminary developed a plan, a strategic plan that really was working towards moving from a residential program to a predominantly online delivery where students would remain in their home congregation, they would attend classes virtually, and they would come together for some intensives, but there would no longer be that community formation of pastoral students. At the same time, numbers were reducing. Five of the perhaps most confessional lecturers had their calls terminated and then were offered half-time calls, which not all of them could accept. Mm. At the same time, the strategic directions document, which is accessible online, really had an emphasis on kind of cultural progressivism with little mention of the formation of pastors. And as the student numbers dropped, as the faculty dropped, they had to outsource some of the training to some of the other colleges within this collaborative university. And so just talking to some of the students, they were extremely disappointed in the non-Lutheran and very kind of progressive theological position that some of their classes took. And in fact, there's a couple of students over here in the US because they couldn't continue. So it's been quite a radical change. That probably has happened incrementally, but when I look even from the 90s to today, it's unrecognisable.
Mm. We're talking with the Reverend Matt Anker, President of Lutheran Mission Australia. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Eddie Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon. Dun dun dun.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Matt Anker, president of Lutheran Mission Australia. You've been giving us a wonderful history of Lutheranism in Australia for those of us who are probably quite unfamiliar. And it's a very, there's some sad parts of this story. I know there's some joys that are happening too right now, and we'll get to that in this part of the conversation. When was it clear that a new mission was needed for confessional Lutheranism in Australia?
So in 2021, we had the Synodical Convention, and by that stage, we'd already voted on the ordination of women five or six times, and it had been narrowly defeated. At that convention, the bishop at the time indicated that he really felt that we needed to approach this in a new way, because he felt like it was a question that was not being resolved, even though Synod had resolved it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't in the way that many people wanted. And while I understand the intent behind the comment, there was a concerning comment in his both verbal and written report where he said that further truth claims, even to the Word of God, would not resolve this division. And, you know, as Lutherans, all we have is the Word of God.
Right.
And whether it takes a short or a long time, it's the only means we have to resolve theological disputes. And so, you know, the Synod really took this on board and then moved forward to accept a proposal to explore ways in which we could have what they termed two teachings. Or two practices mm-hmm. of ordination and one church. And at that stage, we really recognized that there was little hope of going back. Practice can't be separated from theology. Mm-hmm. Our doctrine is expressed in what we do. And you can't simply say that we have the same doctrine of the ministry. It's just that some choose to ordain men and some choose to ordain men and women. It's just nonsensical and contrary to all that we hold. So it's really since about 2021 that we realized that the situation was nearing a point where we needed to have a new church, an alternative church for Australians.
So how does one go about forming a new mission especially in a country where you've had primarily one Lutheran church body? Are there other Lutheran church bodies in Australia?
Yeah, there are a number of relatively small mm-hmm. synods, and then there are also quite a number of independent congregations spread across the country. But, you know, it's a big country, mm-hmm. small population, mm-hmm. and even smaller population of Lutherans. So yeah. You know, we could look at it from a human point of view and say there's just not enough people to go around. Let's just kind of suck it up and ignore the problem. But yeah. None of us could do that in good conscience. So look, we had hours and hours and hours of conversations, and, you know, it's a serious business considering leaving a church body. And I'm an adult convert. It's the place where I heard the gospel. Mm. I never, ever envisaged having to leave the church that literally brought me life.
Yeah.
But we want a church for the future. We want a church for our children and our grandchildren, where they will hear the full counsel of God and can rejoice in the gospel. So we had many, many hours of discussion about what the possibilities were, where we might go, how this might take place. Also mindful of the fact that as an isolated small group in Australia, it would be very easy to kind of fall into odd beliefs, sectarianism. Mm-hmm. So I guess eventually we started working on establishing a legal entity which would enable a synod to be formed. And at the same time, we were having conversations with Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, International Lutheran Council, about having these collegial relationships whereby we weren't just an independent bunch of cowboys out there doing our own thing, but there was accountability and support. And we really, really value that. We do feel isolated from the rest of the confessional world, but through this journey, we've probably never felt closer to our brothers and sisters across the world who share the same hope and faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a challenging path that you've been describing. What are some of the things that have brought you hope and brought you comfort through all of what's been happening, the theological discussions and choosing to have a new path forward. What's been hopeful and full of comfort for you?
Well, since the October 2024 decision for the LCA to ordain women, Lutheran Mission Australia established prior to that, but we didn't have any congregations at that stage. A lot of people had really said that women's ordination was the line in the sand that they weren't prepared to cross. And so following the Synod's decision, we certainly started receiving a lot more contact from people around the country. We provided opportunities for forums to discuss the issues and to discuss the possibility of forming new congregations or for existing congregations to come out of the LCA. And the greatest joy I've seen is now that congregations are starting, very humble, all in rented spaces and all sorts of challenges, but the absolute joy and peace that you see in people and the way in which they express their gratitude for being able to worship with a good conscience. They know that they are in agreement with this church, that it confesses the same faith that they do, and that they have great hope for the future. And really, that's made it all worthwhile. If LMA hadn't started, a lot of these people essentially would be church orphans. Many of them had already resigned from the LCA by the time we've caught up with them. In fact, we're meeting people who left the LCA many years ago and are coming back to worship, and lots of new Lutherans who've connected with Lutheranism through things like KFUO and other LCMS podcasts. And you know, they've come to know confessional Lutheranism and the joy of it. And then they've tried to find a confessional Lutheran church in Australia, and they've expressed their despair when they previously looked for a church, and their real joy now that they've found a place they can call home. So it's really the people and seeing the way in which they can simply receive God's good gifts with a good conscience and with a joyful spirit.
I believe some of the Australian Lutherans we spoke with this summer mentioned that they have to travel over an hour to find, you know, to participate in a congregation, to be a part of a congregation where they are joining together with brothers and sisters who believe, teach, and confess what they believe, teach, and confess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And at this stage, we only have a handful of congregations, and yeah, people are driving for up to 2 hours to come, but the congregations have been opening in different parts of the country almost every week through December and into the new year. So we're looking forward to continuing to kind of reduce that time travel a bit so that they can be local communities of faith that are sharing the good news.
What are some of the questions you've received as developing and forming a new mission?
Of course, there's been a lot of negative questions, if you like, and questioning our faithfulness, questioning our motives, questioning the necessity of a new church body. And I understand that coming from people who don't understand the issues, but there's also been questions about viability. As I said, Lutheran Church of Australia is a small church in a large country. So Lutheran Mission Australia is much, much smaller. And so, of course, there are issues about how will this be a viable church into the future. We've received lots of requests to plant new congregations in particularly places where Lutherans haven't been particularly well known before, which is really interesting. We've also, there's been lots of questions about, you know, whether we've gone far enough or whether we've gone too far theologically. And we're just trying to stick with what the scriptures say. And so we hope and pray that that will be self-evident as people get to know us more and more. We've also had lots of questions about pastoral supply into the future, this kind of thing. The reality is at the moment we have more pastors applying to join us than we have places for them to serve.
Wow.
We have several seminary students here in the United States, and we have a waiting list for those who want to study at the seminary that we're planning in Australia. So people are concerned about this small group not having enough pastors, but the fact is that that's the least of our worries. And you know, we thank God for that. God's supplying men to serve in the office of the ministry, and that gives us confidence that he has a plan for Lutheran mission in Australia into the future.
Yeah. What's next? What's on the horizon? I know there's a lot happening. What's coming down the road?
So between now and Easter, there's quite a number of new congregations that need to be established. So we also have to work through the practical realities of getting pastors to them regularly. Mm-hmm. We've just about to install Pastor Michael Prenzler, who's been called part-time as a congregational pastor and part-time as a seminary development officer. So his job is to implement the plans for the development of a new seminary. And then there are a number of congregations in the LCA that are in the process of considering leaving the LCA. And so if some of them make that decision, then that changes, you know, that gives us additional work and, but also great opportunity and blessing as well. Yeah. So lots to keep us busy.
How can we learn more and follow what's going on with the Lutheran Mission Australia?
So our website is managed by a wonderful communications manager, and you can find it at lutheranmissionaustralia.org.au. And you can also sign up for our fortnightly newsletter there, and you can find us on Facebook. We haven't ventured any further in regard to social media at this stage because we have very limited capacity. But through those two, the website and Facebook, you can pretty much keep up to date with what's happening.
Our guest today, the Reverend Matt Anker, President of Lutheran Mission Australia. Thank you so much for spending this time with us in studio. We appreciate the story and looking forward to talking with you more.
Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure to be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.